Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello and welcome back, everyone. Before we get onto the show, do a special announcement that our 2024 annual convention registration is now open. Looking forward to having a great event, the big one, in Tampa Bay, Florida this time of year. I'm going to be in July. So please make sure, last year we did sell out and hit capacity, so please make sure to come register early. Everything can be found at destinationsinternational.org. Hope to see you there. Looking forward to a great event in Florida. All right, on to the show. So first up, welcome to a special one of three podcast episode arc around the release of our brand new research study, Destination Promotion, a Catalyst for Community Vitality, and its key findings. The report emphasizes the pivotal role of destination organizations in shaping the economic and cultural landscape of communities far beyond the realms of traditional tourism. Our discussion will unravel how these organizations, by transcending their conventional focus solely on the hospitality sector, act as catalysts for a broad spectrum of economic benefits. The research and analysis provided by, and this is the Avengers team here, Torrens of Economics, Longwoods International, Clarity of Place, and MMGY Next Factor, this report truly illuminates the extensive catalytic economic impacts of destination promotion. This episode promised to offer perspectives on how strategic destinations, marketing, not only enhance visitor experiences, but significantly contribute to the overall economic vitality, quality of life, and cultural richness of our communities, organizations in fostering economic growth, cultural development, community well-being. Now, as an expansion of the study, we also developed 10 destination-specific case studies and their role on being a catalyst for community vitality. So join me in welcoming one of those destinations from the study, as well as one of the research partners who helped work on this project. Welcome to the show, Jane DeLuce, President and CEO of Experience Champaign-Urbana, and Tina Valdecanas from Clarity of Place. Tina and Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
So first up, in general background for the listeners, I'll do Jane first, then Tina. But would you guys mind giving a little bit of origin and history background of both your organization and your how you origin into the role itself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am grateful for a long career, and I guess in that way I'm saying several decades, in recreation, sport, and tourism. And I've worked for the Atlanta Olympics. I worked for Broward County Parks and Recreation in Broward County, Florida. I worked for University of Illinois Campus Recreation, which then took me to this job almost 15 years ago, being the president and CEO of Experience Champaign-Urbana, as well as the overall president of the Experience Champaign-Urbana Foundation. So I've been able to work in a lot of different arenas, and I will say by far, this is my favorite.
Thank you, Jane. Tina.
Cool. Well, thanks again, Andreas, for allowing me to be part of this discussion. I was very honored to be part of the research team for the Catalyst Project. At Clarity of Place, we pride ourselves on helping our clients understand how the visitor economy fits into their larger community and how they can use their current community alignment to align with and enhance the efforts that they have to leverage their visitor economy and strengthen their quality of place. I kind of came to the destination world via economic development and have always been intrigued with how different placemaking entities, be they destination organizations or the economic development team or the municipal administration and elected leaders, use their place and the economic activity that they're able to drive to create community shared value and make those catalytic improvements to their communities that we studied in the report. For the project, I had the great fortune to interview key stakeholders in several of the study destinations to bring some of the data that the whole team compiled to life. And for me personally, to garner some qualitative proof points of how those destination organizations and those entities are contributing to their communities and creating that thing that we call community shared value.
Thank you, Tina. So again, for the listeners, the full research report, we're going to put a link into the show notes. So as a member of Destinations International, you can grab a copy of the full report or for the public, an external copy of the executive summary. But really today, the conversation is focusing on the 10 destination case studies, and this one in particular about Champaign-Urbana. So Jane, first question for you. Part of the case study in the report really highlighted this critical role between Experience Champaign-Urbana, your local governments, and the other stakeholders that correspond with it. I want to actually get a sense from you, how do those partnerships, were they formed? Did it start that way? And how is it you've seen it expand over the role of your organization as over the years?
Well, thank you. It's interesting because going into this role, the persons before me had not lasted very long in working with what was then called the Champaign County Convention Visitors Bureau. And I didn't realize how detrimental maybe some of the relationships were. And I was a year into this role and I got a call from the local media asking for my reaction to the mayor of Urbana at that time, which Urbana is our second largest city, indicating that she was going to cut our funding to zero and use that money to hire additional police officers. So after the initial shock, and my initial thought was, why did I leave the University of Illinois for this job? I will say that was part of my reaction. I realized that the CVB at the time had not done a good job sharing its own story. While it talked about the community and promoted the community, it really didn't talk about who were the people behind it that shared those stories of the community. And that's when advocacy really became our middle name. So we developed quarterly reports. We did presentations to city councils, village boards, the local Rotary and Kiwanis clubs, anybody that would listen. We started really telling our story with the community stakeholders so they understood kind of what the role was beyond just what they thought maybe it was developing at that time called the visitor guides. And so that led to then how do you take relationships with people beyond your funding partners? And I think that's where we felt like we're developing a relationship with our local economic development corporation and also with our Chamber of Commerce and then with the university. And then we have a community college and all of the different people that make up what our community is today. I will say two things that really stand out that solidified relationships in terms of telling the stories of our community was with the Chamber of Commerce, legislative advocacy outreach. We developed a group called Champaign County First, and that group goes over to Springfield, Illinois, to our state capital to talk about community issues collectively. And we realized that it had to be about the whole community, not just about what one village or one city needed in that community. And then we go to DC once a year as well and do the federal advocacy levels. And I think that really helps solidify the organizations to feel that we are all part of each other. It wasn't just the cities, it wasn't just the university, and it wasn't just the villages themselves that make up our geographic area. And then I think secondly, with the Economic Development Corporation, we worked on communications collectively, and those were really solidified during the pandemic. So here you have a pandemic where everybody is trying to say, when do things close? When do things open? What's the latest that's coming? And so Terry Rustek, who's our VP of Marketing and Community Engagement, and Carly McCrory were the ones that went collectively to look at the communications and how we would put those together in conjunction with both cities and the university. And I think we're fortunate because if you have the leadership in the right place, which we have two mayors and a chancellor of the university that were willing to be on the same page, that solidified that communication. So then it made it easier post-pandemic of being to say, okay, now we're moving on to let's further tell the stories of our community. And that's really helped broaden those relationships between the cities, the university, the different governmental partners, but then all of the other groups in the area as well.
One aspect, Jane, to follow up on, that's actually a unique perspective, is that originally when you started, it wasn't the combined Champaign-Urbana. It was just Champaign. Is that correct?
No, it was actually countywide at that time, but I don't think the leadership of those different cities, along with the university leadership, were in as much cohesive efforts as they are still today. And so at the time, we were representative of the entire county area, but it didn't there wasn't a lot of cohesive branding. People that looked at it as like, what's in it for me and what's mm-hmm. in it for our community? And so it helped having the right leadership of those major three, Champaign, Urbana, and the university, along with the other smaller villages that surround our area just within the county. And for us, for our region that goes beyond the county, because we represent now five counties, having those opportunities to then look at this as a region. So that's it's broadened greatly over the last almost 15 years.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jane. Tina, for you, you and your organization said you were one of the research partners that did part of the interview process with Jane and her team and her community. So I want to ask it two parts for you. Obviously, just for clarification, I know you don't live in Champaign-Urbana, so I appreciate your perspective on this. First is just some initial insights that you uncovered when you went through the interview process with this community. And then the second part was, did any of those findings challenge your initial maybe assumptions going into the project and knowing you were going to interview Jane and her team and her community? So love to hear your thoughts.
Well, Jane, I appreciate your answer to Andreas's first question, because it kind of ties into that aha moment or that key finding that I had when I was able to chat with all of your stakeholders in Champaign-Urbana. One of the things that struck me most, and to the interviewee, was just their appreciation and their recognition of the key role that you and your team have played in pulling the community all together. I think one of the interviewees described you as the glue, and I think going further to say the trusted glue, because thanks to your willingness to communicate, to be transparent, to show everyone in the community how you're all in it together, in the role that the visitor economy plays, I think that you've built a lot of trust within the community and the organizations that, you know, just because experienced Champaign-Urbana may be doing something that a typical DMO hasn't been engaged in, it's not because you're trying to create scope creep. It's because you're just trying to make the community a better place. One of my favorite interviewees was the woman who runs the research park at the university. And she was, I spent a lot of time in a past life at another university research park and kind of know the psyche of how park leaders see their role in the world and their role in the community. And it was very refreshing to me that she saw her relationship with Experience Champaign-Urbana is totally symbiotic and totally complementary of each other. She got right from the get-go that her success at the research park is tied to the success of the place, tied to having a vibrant community outside the campus gates where her students will want to go and not only enjoy their time while they're there at the university, but hopefully want to stay and remain in the community. And she credited the work that you've done and that your team have done to make Champaign-Urbana a welcoming place for visitors of all types, be they residents or college students or faculty that come in and transact business with the staff at the university. She saw that pivotal role as being very important to her success and bragged about all of the different ways she reuses the collateral that you create, reuses some of the kind of just the messaging and making the campus seem more welcoming in thanks to your efforts there. So to get to the answer to your question, Andreas, I think that aha moment was the importance that we know of leadership. It's not just having the structures in place for destinations, or it's not just having an adequate funding stream to be able to promote the destination. It's having those individuals, those community players who know how their community works and know how to connect their community to make the most of it for visitors, whether they're out-of-town visitors who stay overnight or our residents who are guests at the different amenities that we have.
Thank you, Tina. Jane from Champaign, destination organization leader and trusted glue. I like to steal that one. I want to dig in a little bit from your prior comment about the idea of unifying brand or several brands under one umbrella. Obviously, you kind of mentioned in the beginning of it that there was some element of everyone protecting their domain and what's in it for me. I want to talk, would you mind going into the process, talking a little about what was it like to actually unify all these different entities and all the different counties and parts of the community you represent, and probably the dream that you envisioned and hope you've achieved at this part of the juncture?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny you say the dream, because the dream is always that everybody will be on the same page, and in full transparency, there are always going to be some people that may question what it is and say, well, that particular city, Monticello, is in Piatt County. Why are you promoting them? And I said, but because visitors come, they don't know what zip code they're in. They're not looking at what the city is. They just want to know where that attraction is and how to get there. And I think that's so important for all of us, if people would let down their guard and not worry about their particular city being included in the name, then it makes it a lot easier for the visitor to understand how they get to you. And from there, then you can create the avenues to get to all of the different attractions and places in your community. So I always want to say it's ideal. It's not necessarily 100% there yet, but we're getting there. So I do want to give the credit for our most recent branding identity to Terry Riestek. I mentioned her name before because she's amazing and does a lot of work within the community engagement part of her role, as well as marketing. And so there was a lot of research that went into this process. So there was focus groups, testing various ad campaigns, doing surveys. And I think we finally realized the direction was clear to focus on the Champaign-Urbana. We often combine those for fun, Champaign-Urbana. The Champaign-Urbana name, which really is known primarily because of the University of Illinois. That is who we are. And there was a time earlier in my career when I did have people say, we are town proud. We don't need the university. And I said, well, why not look at the university? Look at the university as who we are, because the people who are at the university are your neighbors. So we are all one community. And I think that's really helped. And again, having leadership with the chancellor at the university, embracing that as well, the town and gown relationship, utilizing campus facilities and having a very open line of communication between the campus as well as our major medical facilities and our other businesses that are here. So we were Champaign-Urbana. So 40 years ago, we were Champaign-Urbana Convention and Visitors Bureau. Then it became Champaign County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Then when I started and soon after, we became Visit Champaign County. Well, think about county. What does that really mean? And when you're in the middle of Illinois, we're not known by oceans and amusement parks and where some of our other destinations are naturally. We wanted to really embrace that we were major city related to the university. And so that's when it became Champaign-Urbana. And we felt the visit part was very limiting because we needed our residents to be part of what we do. When you put out a visitor's guide, people assume it is only for the visitors. But you put it on an experience guide and you change it from being the listings to being stories, and stories that are from the people who live here, from the artists who are here, business owners are here. The experience guide has become a very, very popular printed publication that we use. So fast forward to last year in May of 2023, we were at our annual Toast to Tourism and we announced this new brand. And people were excited. People were a little nervous. There was a particular area community that thought their name should be in it. And we kind of tried to gently explain, well, your name wasn't in it when it was called Champaign County. So it's not going to be in it when we say Champaign-Urbana, but we're talking about the whole area. We need people to find us, and they're not going to find us they're not going to find us by the name of your village, but they're going to find the area and then be able to find you. And I will say, I really appreciated the mayor and the administrator for the village of Rantoul. Rantoul is known as the Chinook Air Force Base. It's about 15 minutes north of Champaign-Urbana. And the base has long since closed, and they've talked about how to create their community, redefine their community. And they invested in a multi-million dollar sports complex, the Rantoul Family Sports Complex. What that administrator said to me when we were talking about these changing the name, he said, I love it. Get them to you. They'll be at the sports complex in 15 minutes. He said, I don't need to have Rantoul in the title name. I just need to know they're going to find us at the sports complex. So I love that philosophy of understanding they need to get to your area, and then they'll be able to, again, find the attraction within their community. And they've been a major source of income for the area. And as I often tell the mayor of Champaign and the mayor of Urbana, y'all need to call the mayor of Rantoul and thank them, because when the pandemic was still going and the sports complex opened up, it gave people a chance to come visitor economy was then increased at a time when meetings and conferences were not happening. So I'm getting off on a tangent. So I will go back to your question, Andreas, on that. You can edit however you would like on that. After we announced the name, we really took the steps to reflect what our community is brilliant. And so it was all about being brilliant. And we have brilliant artists, we have brilliant authors, we have brilliant businesses, we have very international population, and second largest international student population in the country. We have culinary delights of all different cultures. And so it's been a way that we've taken it and then developed ways to embrace it with our residents and, of course, then with our visitors. Terry and Carly, who I mentioned, the EDC, developed the Shambana Proud podcast, and they collectively do it. And I love that podcast because in talking to different people and hearing their stories of why they come here or why they've been here and why they stay are really, really the true reasons of what they then become ambassadors for other people. And we've talked about the Shambana Welcome Crew, which is our ambassador program for new residents and potential residents. What I love about that is we can do all the marketing in the world, but if your residents are saying about your community, it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you put into an ad campaign. It has to be your residents or your ambassadors. So having the Shambana Welcome Crew ambassadors who welcome new people and engage with them, it's really the best way that we are using our people to tell our story of our brilliant community.
Thank you, Jane. No edits needed to that one. It was a great and wonderful response, and appreciate it sort of in totality. Tina, back to you. Now, only part of this project, you got to interview Jane, but other destinations, but I also know part of just your regular job, you know, 9 to 5 with Clarity Place, you've researched and looked at a bunch of different destination organizations. I feel like Jane gave a lot of great examples, but just from your perspective, what about Experience Champaign has stood out so much from you in the strategies and practices in place that you've learned from doing this project and against your other body of work?
I would say that two things stand out to me when I think about the Experience Champaign Urbana story that Jane has so deftly built. I mean, one of the things, Jane, as you were describing the branding experience and sharing the brand, one of the things that stood out to me in your comments was your tie always back to community, that it's not just about, it's the role of Experience Champaign Urbana isn't just about bringing visitors in. It's about building that place and showing off that place for the assets that you have and what makes you different and what makes you you, instead of trying to be some other destination like that can be replicated anywhere in the U.S. And I think not only kind of that centering around community first and then showing off our community, but then also that stick-to-itness of telling that story. Because I think often it's just human nature that, you know, we are prone to solve crises. And so when we have a crisis, like you had, Jane, earlier when your funding was going to be cut, it's our tendency is to, okay, give that message points, have that story to deflect, mitigate that crisis, and move on back to our day job. But the stick-to-itness that Champaign-Urbana has had of continuing to tell that story about this is who we are, and this is what makes us unique, the university, the various companies, the residents who have been here, the artists, all of these great internationally renowned assets that we have in this small place called Champaign-Urbana. In continuing to tell that story to both build community pride, but remind folks of why you want more visitors to come and experience Champaign-Urbana and experience all the great things that the area has to offer. And in the meantime, if it draws activity to your local businesses or to your local hotels, that's a great thing. But at the end of the day, it's about celebrating the community and sharing those experiences.
Thank you, Tina. Jane, back to you. Now, when hopefully listeners and readers get a chance to dig into the report and to get across the several chapters on your community, I think it's going to probably hopefully propose some element of jealousy or others to try to think, how can we do this ourselves? How can we replicate what your community has done? And I want to ask you, what advice would you give for another destination organization, CEO just like you, is trying to figure out how do I replicate the success that you see you've gone through with everything you've done in Experience Champaign-Urbana?
Well, first of all and foremost, I would say it's a marathon, not a sprint. I mean, there are times when you feel, I've got this. I know what the cities need. I know what the villages need. I know what the university needs. We've got everybody. And then all of a sudden you have a new council member, you have a new mayor that has questions about what you do. So you can't be complacent in telling your own story in addition to telling the community story. And I think too often you can't also take it personally. I mean, I think just like a lot of business decisions, when the mayor cut our funding many moons ago, I thought, what did I do wrong? What did our organization do wrong? And it really wasn't even about that. She was trying to make a statement, I come to find out, about a whole lot of other things. But it's taken years, over a decade, to rebuild that relationship with the city of Urbana. And thankfully, the current mayor, Diane Marlin, is a major ambassador for us and has been a tremendous voice in what we do and backing that. She doesn't have all the council members that necessarily agree with that. And that's a whole nother subject that we won't go down that road today. But I think it's understanding that the advocacy work we do is every day and it will never stop. It will always, always be our middle name and a part of what we do. And that's okay. That's kind of the fun of it, is how else can we tell our story maybe in a different way, or how do we educate people? And I think it's also going so much beyond your funding partners, because if I were to talk with my neighbor who I walk with every Sunday, she wouldn't even know who's on our own city council. I mean, she's just not her world. And so when I can recite where our council members are and what their views are, et cetera, but it's developing relationships beyond those funding partners. It's really developed, because that's where the beauty of new things that can happen for your community. We provide space in our office and we provide support for the 40 North, which is our local arts council, who is phenomenal. And being able to provide that space so that they can exist and do the things they do for celebrating the arts in our community, I wouldn't have that any other way. We moved offices, and I made it a point to my board to say the Arts Council was going to go with us. And they've been with us since I started, actually since before we started. And so I think that one's important. Another one is with community choices that we worked with to develop Accessible CU, which is taking businesses, and whether they're physical accessible or they're accessible to people that might have sensory awareness issues, and seeing what those, rating those businesses and making sure that people see disabilities or abilities of all, that are a lot of different variety of abilities, and having that. I would never, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have thought about that partnership with Community Choices to be able to develop Accessible CU. And then the one that I'm proud of a lot of things, right? You can't pick a favorite project, because it's like picking a favorite kid. I will say, when we were asked to develop a mural celebrating Black history, that turned into one mural, which was what it's going to be 4 years ago, is now developed into the Champaign County African American Heritage Trail. There are not DMOs out there that I can think of that are developing this kind of storytelling. And it is history that is important to our community. It is history that has created that place, Tina, that you talk about, and how important that is. So what became a question, would we create a mural to help celebrate this history, has now going to be 23 large interpretive signs, 5 murals, 16 videos, a website, school curriculum. And it is something that is owned. It is an asset that is owned by us. It is so different than other cities that have convention centers or have, you know, maybe an amusement place or something as part of who they are with their identity. This is something that is changing our community and embracing the rich cultural history of our community, but stories that were untold. And again, 6-7 years ago, if you had told me that that's something we'd be doing, I would have never dreamt it. So those are the big ones. And then my third one I do have to mention is that there's not a lot of us that own a foundation in addition to our C6. So having a C3 was twofold. One, it was being able to create other partnerships that needed, if you're going to go after private sponsors and banks and insurance companies, a lot of them do want the tax write-off. And being able to have that foundation be supplementary to the work you do for your C6, 501c6, is so, so, so important. And so having that foundation to be able to help us with bid incentives for events, to owning the Heritage Trail, which we've committed. We're going to own that, and bringing back the state basketball tournament to our area that had been gone for 25 years. So I guess to answer, long answer to your question, is embrace change as your community changes.
All said. I don't know how I'm going to top that with a question, but I am going to try. So thank you, Jane. So final question for you both, and I'll start with you, Tina, on this first. So when we put out the research study, part of it was providing proof positive that what we do, destination promotion, is fundamentally essential, necessary, and very important for every single community to get behind. I want to ask each of you, what would you like? Now, you can answer this from your community, from your peers, to the industry, but what do you hope people start to learn or fundamentally understand about why destination promotion is so valuable and needed? Tina, you first, and then I will lead us on with Jane.
So not to have too much of a pun on the report title, but I think that destination promotion is important because it catalyzes so many other good impacts within the community, from the experience that Jane described of telling our story and building community pride and showing and appreciating what makes us special, those intangibles, to the data that Longwoods was able to provide and Tourism Economics were able to provide to show kind of that number crunching of, if we are able to do a good job of telling our story and promoting our destination, here are the economic benefits that ensue, not only for the community, but those businesses within the community. And so it's that virtuous cycle that we talk about and try to get started by getting people to visit our communities. I guess a final takeaway that I'd like readers to get from the report is just that there's no silver bullet, but there are lots of great examples that you can learn from. I think that the case studies, I'm biased, but the destinations that were highlighted in those case studies were chosen because they each brought a different spin on this task of promoting their place in generating community shared value. And I think that as the report shows through the great narrative and examples of the different impacts, that readers can take from those and see themselves in some of those destinations or see themselves in parts of those destinations and take what their colleagues and what the leaders in the industry have done and kind of bring that to the next level and make it real for their destination.
Thank you. Jane, take us home.
I will say what I hope people will take away from this study is something I learned from my daughters. When we were looking at colleges, my daughter said to me, "Mom, doesn't it seem like every admissions brochure looks exactly the same? Every cover has a student of a different culture or a different race. Every place has everyone smiling. Every place has like the showing this perfect campus." And she said, "But when you get there, you really don't know the community until you visit it." And I said, "You are right." And what I take away from that is that you have to embrace your community's authenticity. You can't fake who you are as a community. So we can tell that story to engage people, but then also having the residents see themselves as part of that story also. Again, going back to, here's the guide, here's what tells you it's a perfect place to be, but really it is truly about aligning with what your community's values are and really fostering the sense of community pride. And I think anywhere you go, we're a champion of our community, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Jane and Tina, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and thoughts on not only the research project, but just your extension of work. If listeners want to connect with you, get in contact with you, learn about the work you do, where best could they find you? So Tina first, and then Jane.
Sure. Well, the easiest way to get in touch with me is via email. So Tina at clarityofplace, all one word, .com.
Jane?
And mine, the same as email, is Jane with a Y, so JAYNED at experiencecu.org.
Wonderful. Thank you both again. And thank you for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, Jane Duluth, and Tina Valdecanos on this month's episode of the Architects of Destination Advocacy, a special on the destination promotion, a catalyst for community vitality. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch our latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org or simply checking out our content throughout the advocacy section of our website or speaking at one of our upcoming events, hopefully annual convention. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.